Hello and welcome to the BioArctic Q3 Report 2019. Throughout the call, all participants will be in a listen-only mode, and afterwards there'll be a question-and-answer session. Just to remind you, this conference call is being recorded. Today, I'm pleased to present CEO Gunilla Osswald and CFO Jan Mattsson. Please go ahead with your meeting.
Welcome to BioArctic's interim report from January to September. I'm Gunilla Osswald, and I'm the CEO of BioArctic, and I'm happy to do the presentation here today and share it with our CFO, Jan Mattsson. Next slide, please. This is our disclaimer, and BioArctic is listed on Nasdaq Stockholm Mid Cap. Next slide, please. For those of you who are new to BioArctic, I will start with a short introduction to the company. BioArctic is a unique Swedish biopharma company. By that, I put it into four different areas. I start with that we are working on areas where there is a high unmet medical need in CNS. Today, there are only symptomatic treatments for Alzheimer's disease and Parkinson's disease, and we focus on disease-modifying treatments. These are areas where there is a growing population and an increasing need for new treatments. The next area is that we have a world-class research and development-driven organization with very experienced scientists and drug developers. We have great collaboration with universities and with our strategic partners. The third area is that we have an attractive and well-balanced project portfolio with projects from discovery all the way to phase III. We have a good combination of fully funded programs through our two strategic partners, Eisai in Alzheimer's disease and AbbVie in Parkinson's disease. Innovative early programs that we're driving ourselves with a great out-licensing and marketing potential for the future. We have a well-financed company, and we have more than 1 billion Swedish crowns on the bank. We have positive financial results all years since I came on board 6 years ago. And we have valuable collaboration agreements with our two strategic partners, totaling up to 9.3 billion Swedish crowns, plus royalties if we come all the way to the market. So BioArctic is a dynamic, unique Swedish biopharma company. Next slide, please. At BioArctic, we focus on research and development on innovative treatments for CNS disorders, and we work on four different areas. I'm pleased to say that we have had significant progress in all four areas this year. Last year was a fantastic year, with a positive phase 2b result of BAN2401 in early Alzheimer's disease, and with AbbVie taking the full license to our Parkinson's disease portfolio. This year has also continued with strong progress for all four areas. We'll start with Alzheimer's disease, but before we start with our programs, I just want to comment on the news on Tuesday when Biogen and Eisai presented new data regarding their antibody aducanumab. The new information with more data showed clinical benefits associated with reducing amyloid in the brain in patients with early Alzheimer's disease. And we are encouraged by this positive development for Alzheimer's patients. It's also interesting to note that when we think of BAN2401, where we had the positive results of the phase 2b study last year, we had a clear effect on three clinical scales. We saw a dramatic change of decrease of amyloid from the brain, supported by neurodegenerative biomarkers and a good tolerability for the Alzheimer's patients. Eisai has now the phase 3 Clarity AD study ongoing, and it started in May, and then we received a milestone of 15 million euros. Eisai are very committed to BAN2401, and the open label extension study are now well underway. The Alzheimer Clinical Trial Consortium and Eisai are preparing for a secondary prevention study, the A45 study, to be started next year. And we also had a good time in July at the Alzheimer Congress when new data were presented for BAN2401, which I will come back to in today's presentation. Our discovery programs are progressing well according to plan in Alzheimer's disease. And in Parkinson's disease, we have also had great continued progress this year. The IND that was produced by BioArctic for ABBV-0805 was approved by FDA in February, and our partner AbbVie started phase 1 in March, and the study is going well. BioArctic, we are focusing on the early programs in collaboration with AbbVie. Our third area is complete spinal cord injury, and there we had a safety evaluation early this year, supporting continuation into phase 2. And phase 2 was started during springtime. And our fourth area, which is diagnostic tools to support our Alzheimer's and Parkinson's programs, and technology platform to facilitate antibodies passage over the blood-brain barrier. There we have also had significant progress, and we were pleased to get grant from Swedish Vinnova of 10 million Swedish crowns together with Uppsala University. And here we have now initiated this collaboration from the 1st of July, so here we are ongoing now. And we have also been able to recruit renowned, internationally renowned scientists in this area. So in all four areas, we have had significant progress so far this year. Next slide, please. This slide shows our attractive and well-balanced project portfolio. And when I say well-balanced, I mean that from three different aspects. First, that we are working on four different areas. We have five programs in Alzheimer's disease, three programs in Parkinson's disease, spinal cord injury, and the diagnostic tools with the also the BBB technology platform. Our projects span from discovery all the way to phase 3. That was the second, and the third is that our strategic partners finance the expensive Alzheimer's and Parkinson's clinical programs, whereas BioArctic, we finance the less expensive preclinical phases, and we increase the value in those programs before partnering. And meanwhile, our partners are funding the clinical programs, we also get milestone revenues. Next slide, please. We have two long-standing successful partnerships with Eisai in Alzheimer's disease all the way back since 2005. Eisai has developed Donepezil, or Aricept, which is the most selling medicine for Alzheimer's disease patients, a symptomatic treatment. Eisai is very committed to dementia. We have so far received €62 million of the total aggregated value up to €280 million of the agreements that we have with Eisai. So there is still a substantial part to receive if we continue to progress well. If we come all the way to the market, we also have royalties of high single digit that we can receive. And if you think about how large the Alzheimer's disease population is and the opportunity with BAN2401, this could mean a blockbuster revenue to BioArctic without any costs. So I think that's a pretty good business model that we have. We also have the rights of selling in the Nordic region if we come all the way to the market. If we then look at the Parkinson's area, where we have a great collaboration with AbbVie since 2016, and you know, AbbVie, they have Humira, the world's most selling medicine on the market, and they have Duodopa for severe Parkinson's disease on the market. Here, the total aggregated value of the agreement is up to $755 million. We have so far received $130 million, including the 50 that we got when they took the full license of the whole alpha-synuclein antibody portfolio. And here we also have the right to good royalties if we come all the way to the market. Interestingly, we heard that AbbVie presented in July their thoughts about ABBV-0805, that they plan to start with Parkinson's disease, but they also have thoughts about further indications like MSA and DLB. So I think that we have here two great different partnerships that are very important for BioArctic and for the success of our program. Next slide, please. In Alzheimer's disease, BAN2401 is a potential disease-modifying antibody, and this is where we had the positive phase 2B results last year, and now we are well underway in the phase 3 study. BAN2401 has a unique binding profile. It was specially designed and generated to selectively bind and eliminate the toxic forms of misfolded A-beta. And those are called protofibrils or oligomers. So we have a unique clinical fingerprint that was shown in the phase 2B study in 856 early Alzheimer's patients, where we saw a consistent effect on clinical outcomes, three different scales, as well as a dramatic clearance of amyloid from the brain through PET imaging and effects on four different neurodegenerative biomarkers. This, together with a good safety profile, is a unique clinical fingerprint. And the good safety profile also means that we do not need to have any titration. We can give the top dose with the best effect already from the beginning due to the good safety profile. So now, ASI are driving three different programs. The confirmatory Clarity AD phase 3 study, which they have announced that we expect primary endpoint readout in 2022. And they also have the phase 2B open label extension study well underway now with most patients recruited. And they are preparing, as I said, for the A45 study together with Alzheimer's Clinical Trial Consortium, planning to start next year. Next slide, please. On this slide, we see some of the results that Professor Lars Lantz has presented in July at the Alzheimer's Congress. At AAIC, Professor Lars Lantz has also received a Lifetime Achievement Award for his important scientific contributions in the Alzheimer field, including BAN2401. So we were very pleased to see the external recognition by Alzheimer's Association, which is a great honor, and we are very happy and proud of Professor Lars Lannfelt and his work. At the Congress, Professor Lars Lannfelt presented data describing the binding profile of BAN2401. As I said, BAN2401 was specially designed and generated to bind the toxic soluble aggregated forms of A-beta called protofibrils. And this was what Professor Lars Lannfelt saw on the patients with the Arctic mutation. They had increased levels of those toxic species. And they also exist at all Alzheimer patients. And we have now seen that BAN2401 can decrease amyloid from the brain, but that then more on the plaque. But we also then assume that the protofibrils also are decreased in a similar way. So we have shown that BAN2401 is highly selective for protofibril binding. We have more than 1,000-fold selectivity versus monomers, which is very important. And we also have about 10-fold selectivity versus fibrils. If we compare BAN2401 binding profile with aducanumab, we see that it's distinctively different. So BAN2401 prefer binding to protofibrils and oligomers, those toxic species of A-beta, versus aducanumab, who prefers binding to the fibrils. Furthermore, BAN2401 is up to 100-fold stronger in its binding to those toxic species if we compare it with aducanumab. And these data were then presented at the Congress. And next slide talks about the next Alzheimer's Congress, which is CTAD in San Diego in December, where more data will be presented. We will learn more from other antibodies and other programs in Alzheimer's disease. And regarding BAN2401, Professor Lars Lannfelt will present additional data on BAN2401 binding profile. And Eisai will present some information from the open label extension study. And the title of their presentation is Persistence of BAN2401 Mediated Amyloid Reductions Post-Treatment. So we are really looking forward to this Congress in December. Next slide, please. Now we turn to Parkinson's disease and ABBV-0805. This is a potential disease-modifying antibody for Parkinson's disease, where we have shown strong preclinical results, and we are now in phase one, and it is AbbVie driving this program forward. Here we have a similar unique binding profile in a similar approach as we have for BAN2401, but now we talk about selectively targeting protofibrils and oligomers for alpha-synuclein is the protein here. We are now, as I said, in phase one, which is progressing well, and we at BioArctic, we focus on delivering backup and follow-on antibodies in close collaboration with AbbVie. So great progress even here during the year. Next slide, please. Now we come to our third area, the complete spinal cord injury program, SC0806, which is a combination of a biodegradable device and a growth factor, FGF1. This is a potential regenerative treatment for these patients, complete spinal cord injury patients, who have no treatment available at all. And here we are in phase two. In this program, we are collaborating closely with neurosurgeons at Karolinska Hospital in Stockholm and rehabilitation clinics in different countries. And we are supported by Horizon 2020 grant that are covering majority costs for this clinical trial. We are now looking forward to an interim analysis within the coming 6 months, and now we will for the first time look at both efficacy as well as safety. Next slide, please. So now we come to our fourth area, which is to support our disease-modifying treatments for Alzheimer's and Parkinson. We work on diagnostic tools to identify patients at an early stage of the disease and to follow disease progression. We work on imaging biomarkers as well as biochemical biomarkers, all based on our antibodies. Our work with the blood-brain barrier technology platform, we are expanding. And this is very important in order to see that we in the future can have antibodies that come better across the blood-brain barrier. And here we have then, as I said, now started our research collaboration program with Uppsala University, where we got the grant from Swedish Vinnova. And we have successfully recruited scientists from Roche and from Genentech, Denali, and from Uppsala University. This is an area we are expanding and building further. Next slide, please. So by that, we now come to the finance summary, and I hand over to our CFO, John Mattsson.
Thank you, Gunilla. Before providing comments on the financials for the third quarter, I would like to remind you that BioArctic's business model means that our revenues consist of milestone payments, which are one-time in nature, and payments associated with research collaboration agreements, which are recognized over time. BioArctic has basically no expense associated with milestone payments, but does have expenses associated with research collaboration payments. In the Parkinson's project, we received in 2016 an initial payment of $80 million for the delivery of the research agreement. This initial payment is recognized over time as BioArctic meets the performance obligations. As the Parkinson project has been progressing well and now is in clinical phase, this means that the BioArctic activity under the research agreement is lower than that of last year, and that our revenues from this agreement are also lower than last year. So this is the reason why net revenues decreased in the quarter to 20.6 million from 94 million in the previous quarter of last year. And this is also the reason why we had high net revenues in Q4 2018 and Q2 2019, where we received milestone payments from AbbVie and Eisai, respectively. Project expenses decreased to 13.5 million due to lower external expenses in the Parkinson project versus previous year. Other operating expenses increased to 5.5 and relates to exchange rate losses. Operating result decreased to minus 10, coming from 33 in the previous quarter of last year. And operating expenses are expected to be in the range of 190 million-210 million for the fiscal year 2019, and which is in the lower range of what has been communicated previously. Next slide, please. Cash balance amounted to a little less than 1.2 billion at the end of the quarter, and operating cash flow in the quarter amounted to minus 49, coming from 31.5 in the corresponding quarter of 2018. Results for the period decreased to minus 8.3 from 25.9. The decrease of net result is attributable to low revenues from the research collaboration in the Parkinson project. And to sum up, BioArctic continues to have a strong financial position. Next slide, please.
Thank you so much, Jan, and then we come towards the summary. So next slide, please. We are now on slide 17, and I will summarize today's presentation with upcoming news flow. We start with Alzheimer's disease, where we are looking forward to the Alzheimer's Congress, CTAD, in December, where we will hear about more data on BAN2401 and learnings from other Alzheimer's programs. We will also look forward to future communication of data from the phase II-B open-label extension study. And we also look forward to the start of the A45 study next year. 2022, that's when we expect to see the results from the Clarity AD study, the phase III confirmatory trial. In Parkinson's disease, it's progressing well, and we will have to wait for the completion of the phase I or the start of phase II for ABBV-0805. And our complete spinal cord injury program, there we have the interim analysis ahead of us with efficacy and safety within the coming 6 months. And finally, the diagnostic tool and technology platform, we are expanding this area. So there is a lot of exciting news to expect from BioArctic in the future. Next slide, please. So by that, I say thank you so much for your attention, and we open up and are happy to take questions.
If you would like to ask a question, please press 01 on your telephone keypad. If you wish to withdraw a question, you may do so by pressing 02 to cancel. That is 01 if you would like to ask a question. Our first question is from Joseph Hedden from Rx Securities. Please go ahead. Your line is open.
Good morning, and thanks for taking my questions. I've got a few on BAN2401, so maybe I'll go one at a time. Do you have any update on recruitment into the Clarity AD trial, and do you think it could be possibly going at a quicker rate going forward due to the positive development with aducanumab?
Thank you so much, Joseph. Great questions. First of all, the study is progressing well, and I cannot comment on the recruitment pace. So that's something for Eisai. And then with regard to the quicker rate of inclusion, I think that we will have a good recruitment rate for BAN2401 based on the positive results we had on the phase II-B study with effect on all three clinical endpoints and a dramatic decrease of amyloid from the brain, and also further supported by all four neurodegenerative biomarkers and with this good safety tolerability profile, which means that we can give the top dose directly. So I think that I see very positively on the expected recruitment phase for the patients. I think that we can, well, I would really like to see good progress in this study, which I expect.
Okay. Thank you. And then just moving on to the presentation due at CTAD, it's talking about amyloid status in the title presentation title, but do you expect that we could see some of the newer clinical efficacy data coming out? And if not at CTAD, then when might we be? Because, I mean, we're kind of 6 months down the line or so from the start of the open-label extension, and maybe we should see some data soon. Do you think that could happen?
So great question again, Joseph. So first of all, of course, ASA is responsible for the whole BAN2401 program in Alzheimer's disease. And we are really pleased to see what they have in the title, which they talk about the baseline data from the open label extension study. You know, some of those patients have now been without treatment for some period. So I think that will be very important learnings just by looking at the baseline data to compare that with the previous phase 2B results. So I really look forward to. And then I think that I don't think you should have too much expectations on seeing data from kind of during the open label extension study. I think the expectations should be the baseline data, which I think is important enough because I think that's a really important learning there. And then future, I think that I'm really looking forward to every large Alzheimer's Congress in the future. And we will see what data will be presented when. But I think, I mean, there is, when you have an open study ongoing, I expect us to be able to follow this study. So I think I really look forward to the CTAD in December. And then I look forward to ADPD, which every year is in March, April time.
Okay, so sorry, just to confirm what that kind of baseline data is. So you have patients that have discontinued after finishing the phase 2B trial and then have re-enrolled some months later into the open label extension. So you're looking at the kind of bounce in amyloid that might have happened in those few months in between.
Yeah, so if you think about all patients are welcome back in this open label extension study, no matter if they had placebo or low dose or mid dose or high dose, all patients will now come back and get the top dose. So that means that you will have learnings from patients who have been without treatment for different amounts, period of time, and you also will have information with baseline data from patients at different doses and from placebo. So I think it's a very rich possibility to see, to get more knowledge.
And did the recruitment into that happened in a structured way? So you have kind of set proportions of who crossed over from placebo and who crossed over from the top dose and the other doses, or was it just all comers and you kind of have what you have?
What I'm very happy about is that ASI are treating all patients equal, so everyone are welcome back, no matter which dose they had. So then it depends on how far they have progressed in the disease. Unfortunately, for those who have progressed too far, that might not have been possible for them to come back. So I think that around 200 of those patients are expected, or a little bit less than that, but something like that. So I think it's a rich data set that we will learn more and more from.
Okay, and then last one. Biogen on the call, on their Q3 call, where they talked about the aducanumab data, specifically highlighted BAN2401 as well. So I just wanted to see if you had any comments on what you think Biogen and ISI are thinking about the positioning of those two drugs commercially, now that we might assume that aducanumab is already on the market when BAN2401 reports data.
I think that I was just happy to hear how Biogen also commented positively on BAN2401. And then I think I cannot comment on their both, but I think that they are in a great position. Two companies are having two really good-looking compounds. And for this patient population where there is such a huge unmet medical need, and I think also if you think about the data that Professor Lars Lannfelt presented in Los Angeles, he showed that they are distinctive from each other. So I'm sure that if both come to the market, they will have different benefits and some patients will be better for one and maybe some will be better for the other. And I think the BAN2401 has shown a really good efficacy and a good safety tolerability profile. So I see very positively for the future for BAN2401.
Okay, thanks. Thanks very much, Gunnar.
Thank you, Joseph.
And as a final reminder, please press 01 if you would like to ask a question. And our next question is from Mick Cooper from Trinity Delta. Please go ahead. Your line is open.
Good morning, Gunilla. A quick question for me. Is there an update on the trial with BAN24 or the progress on BAN2401 in Down syndrome?
Thank you so much, Mick. Great to hear you. So we are progressing well in our preclinical evaluation and preparation for in this area. But we are still in preclinical stage here.
And one other question. With the progress you're making with the blood-brain barrier technology, and I don't know what you can say, but I'm going to test you anyway, have you tried using this with some of your AD treatments in preclinical settings?
So we have this, so far you know it is in a preclinical stage, and on the slide I showed you on slide 12, you see how we have used it together with our imaging tracers in the animal studies. And on the top graph there, you can see that it really has helped the antibody to come into the brain to light up and bind to the protofibrils. And this is quite unique because this is the first time that anyone has been able to show an antibody being an imaging agent showing protofibrils in a brain. So this is quite remarkable what I showed on that slide. And we have also added it to antibodies, and in those preliminary studies we have shown already that we can have at least a tenth lower dose. We haven't tried any other different doses, but we know that the lower dose was as good as the top dose with a difference of 10, and this is published. So we are together with our colleagues at Uppsala University, and we are progressing further, and you will have to wait and see for more good news.
Okay, I look forward to it with anticipation.
Thanks.
And as there are no further questions, I will hand the word back to the speakers for any final comments.
Okay, so thank you so much for all the attention and for great questions, and have a great day. Thank you.
This now concludes our conference call. Thank you all for attending. You may now disconnect your lines.